That's not fair. Do you think that parents really get more lax with the rules as they parent their younger children? I don't ever remember thinking that when I was growing up. That's not fair. My sister always had an easier time of it than I do. Nope, I didn't think that way. Of course, I'm the younger child. I've heard in my family and in countless others that the repeated phrase, "That's not fair," when a younger child gets a privilege that the older child didn't have at that time in their life, or some restriction is lifted. It's not fair. I had to wait until I was such and such an age to get this or to do that. And, you know, I didn't live it, but I do completely see the point. It isn't fair for a younger child to get something without going through the same hardship that the older child did. Any older children here? Younger children? Okay, take a poll. Is it fair for the older child to have to go through all the stuff and the younger child just kind of skates by?
No.
Did you enjoy it, younger children?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can understand the anger of, are you kidding me? They don't deserve that. They didn't have to go through that, what I went through. That isn't fair. You can't do that. And my non-pastoral and not even that good a parent's response is, life isn't fair, get over it. Anyone ever say that? Yeah, I think there's a better response. I really do. Jesus told the parable of the angry son. You know that parable? I know it's the parable of the prodigal son, and prodigal doesn't mean angry. It doesn't mean that at all. I used to think, though, that prodigal, it meant recklessly extravagant or something like that. The son took his inheritance early and then was recklessly extravagant with how he spent it. He blew through it and then came crawling back to his father, who welcomed him back in a recklessly extravagant manner with open arms. But prodigal doesn't mean angry. And it doesn't mean recklessly extravagant. And it doesn't mean ungrateful or selfish or irresponsible or any kind of those words. So you want to know what it means? No? I could just stop right now. We got it. Done. Anyone want to know what's it mean? Okay. Thank you for humoring me. Prodigal means excessive, wasteful, wanton, and intemperate too, depending on the context and really depending on the word background. See, prodigal is similar to the word prodigy. They're not the same word, but this prodigal from prodigious, rich, extravagant, abound in, profuse, and prodigy from prodigium, a monster or an unnatural thing. A sign that some calamity was going to happen. A gifted child might scare people because they saw the talents of the said child and said that that child had some horrible omen coming. Look at prodigy, a scary, scary word. But P-R-O-D-I-G, our root for that. So it's extravagant, unnatural, profuse, and something that might scare folks away. And there's a connection with all of those. See, the prodigal son abounded in money, and he wasted it. The prodigal son was gifted with a reckless welcome from his father. The prodigal son deserved horrible treatment, but instead he was lavished with a feast. And this is not a new story to most folks in church. They've heard it before. But then I said, Jesus told the parable of the angry son. And like it's only fair that we focus on the angry son there. Because, well, Jesus did. Here's the son who stayed. He worked hard. The son was faithful and true. The son looked at what his father was doing for the wasteful, selfish monster, and he got angry. Are you kidding me? That's what he said to his dad. And the father responded with, life is not fair. Get over it. No, he didn't. He didn't say that. Instead, he heard the anger and responded by telling the son who was angry, "You are always with me. Everything I have is yours." It's a parable. Whether you call it the parable of the angry son, or the parable of the prodigal son, or the parable of the forgiving and recklessly extravagant, welcoming father, parables help us to see what God is like. That's what they're for. I know that they're meant to confuse a little bit too and spark some conversation, but parables show us what God is like. And God is like a parent who welcomes us back no matter what. And God is like a parent who celebrates that we're back no matter what we've done or where we've been. That's what God is like. God is like a parent who hears our anger and our feelings of entitlement and our disdain towards people who seem to get things that they don't deserve. And God says, "You are always with me. Everything I have is yours." That's what God is like. So how can God welcome us back when we've messed up? And also turn to us when we feel like we're the ones who have messed up and don't deserve God's extravagant welcome? And then he says, "You are always with me. Everything I have is yours." I mean, we all have messed up at least a little bit. Some of us have messed up a lot. See, God isn't coming from a place that says, "This is all there is. I'll give it to them if there isn't enough for you. If I love you, it means I can't love and forgive them." That's not what God is like. God can say, "I love and forgive you who have done all of this horrible, and I love and cherish you who have been with me all the time. All I have is yours." But God loves this person, and every person in between. Because there isn't an us and a them. There just isn't. And with God, there is never a, there isn't enough. That's what God is like. God loves, forgives, blesses, has mercy on, offers compassion to, is God to all. It's what God is like, no matter what. At St. Paul's, it's important that we be a community that knows what God is like. And I know we're not going to get it right all the time, but it's important for us to be a community that acts that out, that lives that out, that really strives to be here in this building and outside of the walls a people who love, forgive, bless, have mercy on and offer compassion to everyone, but also a people who know that they are loved, forgiven, blessed, given mercy, given compassion. We're not perfect, but we are called. We are called to do those things. And we're called to know that those things apply not just to everyone else, they apply to all. Remember, there is no us and them. Not at all. No matter what. That's what God is like. Even when we're thinking or saying or praying things like, "God, are you kidding me?" Let's pray. Oh God, thank you for giving us faith. Thank you for looking out for us when things are awful. Thank you for celebrating with us when things are great. And thank you for hearing every time we pray. Help us to know your unconditional love. Help us to give your unconditional love. Help us to be your people. Help us to recognize all of your people. in Jesus' name. Amen.